podcast.
Woohoo!
Well, hey ho, everybody. I'm Kai Rizdahl. No, I don't know where that came from.
Oh, hello there. I didn't notice you sitting there. I'm Molly Wood.
How very North Dakota, Montana of you.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
How are
it's
you?
A
Let's get
how
a frappuccino.
That's a little crazy.
Welcome to Make Me Smart. Yeah, it's disturbing. It really is. Welcome to Make Me Smart, everyone, the podcast where accents occasionally appear without warning. And we're joined, as always, by all of you, because none of us is as smart as all of us.
We are doing blockchain this week. This was my thing, actually, to get smarter on what blockchain technology can do beyond just the thing you hear about all the time, which is cryptocurrencies, right? Bitcoin and all that jazz. We have a woman who is an enthusiast and an expert in certain parts of blockchain joining us. Lots to say about how blockchain could save us time and money. Also, where blockchain could go wrong, you know.
Yeah, I think it's important to note here that enthusiasts might be a tish strong. She's definitely a healthy skepticism
That's true. Yeah.
You know, she's, and that's actually great because I have definitely been one of those people who's been like, oh, the thing about Bitcoin is it's on blockchain and blockchain has all this potential. And what I think regular listeners of this podcast will have heard were things like me saying, couldn't we put our privacy on the blockchain and then our data and it'll save and the everything? So Kai, of all people, had this genius idea to call up somebody and talk about blockchain. Mainly, I'm saying that because you know what, Kai, I also wanted to talk to me about yesterday, you guys? GitHub.
Oh, I know.
I was like, what? I did not.
I shot her a Slack right before Marketplace went on the air and said, hey, I want to ask you this question. Is it a stupid question? And she said, no, it's good.
I said, who is this? And what did you do with Kai?
And what have you done with Kai? All right. Anyway, now that we've blathered for a little bit, let's get going. All right, the fixation fix, as we have come to call it. I went first last time and completely brought everybody down. So I believe, Ms. Wood, it's your turn this time.
Which is funny because I'm about to bring everybody down. No, I'm not.
Oh, wow.
No. Okay. Yesterday, maybe it's possible. Yesterday, I think it's going to lead nicely into our blockchain conversation because so many people are casting about right now for what will save us in a variety of ways.
Period. Just what will save us, period.
What will save us, period, right? Like, and that is manifested in everything from populist revolt to can't the blockchain fix all the problems to maybe Facebook is the reason that we're so partisan and tribal and mad at each other. And it's part of it. But anyway, so yesterday, as I sometimes do, I told that story one time about the distance between the points in geometry class and how that made me write a poem. As I sometimes do, I seize upon otherwise ordinary things as a metaphor for what else is happening in the world. And yesterday, that otherwise ordinary thing came during the WWDC keynote in which, A, surprisingly, Apple did not give a big rant on privacy, which I really thought they would. But B, they announced the new version of macOS Mojave and made a super big deal. Like the super biggest deal about Mojave was that it would have dark mode.
Which means what?
Well, it means that it will have a dark background, which will make it easier to like, edit photos and watch video and all that. It's just going to have dark mode. But I am telling you, I went right down the metaphor rabbit hole
with
dark mode.
So did I.
And I was like, that's where we all are right now. It's like the other day when a dying possum dragged itself slowly across my lawn. And I watched it.
We're putting that in a promo. We're putting that in a promo. Oh, my God. What?
It really happened. This injured possum, over the course of about an hour and a half, dragged its poor injured self across my lawn. And I was like, I don't know what to do. Should I kill it?
Well, yeah, the North Dakota, Montana woman in you should have known that you should have shot it, right?
I mean, I don't have a gun here.
Well, hit it with a shovel.
I know. Well, so all of those things went through my head.
Okay.
I didn't, but I also did call a friend of mine and be like, it's me. The dying possum is me. I'm the dying possum. Like, I'm just trying to like make my way across the lawn. I overdo it a little with them. I'm a creative soul at heart.
I really like
dark
that.
Mode.
The dying possum is me. Oh, just, my lordy be.
Just trying to make it to the other side of the lawn.
I think we ought to end
day.
It right there. I have the thing I have is just very, very rote and of news, and I don't care.
No, do it.
How can I top the dying possum? You gracefully knew when to stop last week. I gracefully know when to stop this week. So that's the beauty of this partnership. Come on.
It's working out
dying
great.
Possum.
All right, well, I think it's just, it's all, we're in dark mode and we are looking for saviors. And that is why we are partly so obsessed. So many people are jumping on Bitcoin. It's a gold rush. And so many people are going for the blockchain.
Good segue.
Right? Like, this is awesome where I segue. Went with dark mode, is it all comes together. And so, so we have put, it's actually going to be really fun. There's like a story about love on the blockchain, a challenge to people who think they know what it is. And apparently we're moving on from the fixation. But if you're like not in dark mode, email us maybe.
Please. Tell us your moment of sunshine and light. It's makemesmart@marketplace.org, or you can get us on Twitter always. Molly's at Molly Wood. I'm at Kai Rizdahl. You spell that just like it sounds. And we'll be back in about, what, like 15 seconds of nice music.
Also, email us and tell us how you think you spell that.
All right. Blockity, block, block, blockchain. You've heard people talking about Bitcoin. What? Blockity, block, block, blockchain. I like that.
That's delightful.
You've heard people talking about Bitcoin and Ethereum. And in those conversations, you've heard people talking about blockchain. But what is that chain of block thing? Where does it exist? Does it physically exist? What is it? How are people getting so rich off it? Some people, others are probably losing their shirts. Pamela Morgan is an attorney and educator who's been advising other lawyers on blockchain. And we called her up to help us figure out what this is.
Yeah, and as he sometimes does, Kai invoked a close relative you may have heard mentioned on the show previously to try to get Pamela to explain blockchain in the clearest possible way.
Pamela, here's the deal. Number one, we have established that my mother does not listen to this podcast, so I'm on safe ground here. Number two, explain blockchain to me so my mom can understand it.
Well, it depends on which blockchain you're talking about.
Wait,
so blockchain.
Wait. There are more than one blockchain?
Oh my gosh, you guys.
We lost your mom already.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Sure as hell what's going to happen is my mother's going to get on podcasts and hear this, and then I'm going to get such a yelling at. She yelled at me one time for saying booger on the radio. Have I ever told you that story? It's true. It's true. I was stunned into silence.
This
was like 5 or 6 years ago. I said something on the radio about something being boogered up. And I literally, she called me that night and said, Kai, I don't think you can say booger on the radio. And I'm like, Mom, it's okay.
Aww.
The FCC is cool with booger. It's true.
I love your mom. Like, I want to hang out.
No.
This is good stuff.
Okay. Anyway.
So anyway.
There are lots and lots and lots of blockchains, Pamela told us. The one that Bitcoin rests upon, I guess, is the oldest one, 9 or so years old. The one for another really popular cryptocurrency, Ethereum, is about 3 years old. And so we asked her, I probably, because I'm the one who doesn't know this stuff, asked her for a description of blockchain. She said she said something a lot of people say, that it's a ledger. It's like a big checkbook ledger sort of up in computer cloud land where transactions get recorded. And Molly jumped in with her favorite metaphor on blockchain, which I think is awesome, as you will hear. And here it goes.
You know, it's funny, actually. I read this amazing, I would never have thought that the New Yorker, of all places, would think to describe blockchain using a metaphor that's near and dear to my heart, which is as knitting.
Yeah.
I'm like, how did I not think of that? It says that a blockchain, so I'm going to run this by you and see if this makes sense to you, because, man, moms can get this. It said it's like a digital version of a scarf knitted by your grandmother. She uses one ball of yarn and the result is continuous. And each stitch depends on the one just before it. And to the immutability, it's impossible to remove part of the fabric or substitute a swatch without leaving some trace.
Okay. All right. I like that.
I like it.
Knitting, right? Knitting solves the world's problems. Now here's the thing. Now that we understand it, now that we have a good metaphor, right? Because that was actually great and super helpful.
Good job, New Yorker.
That's right. Good job, New Yorker, because they got nothing to do but write. So you know what CryptoKitties are?
I do. I love CryptoKitties.
Sadly, I do. Yeah. Sadly, I do too. But now I'm going to ask you to describe what they are and then explain to me how blockchain makes that work.
What I think CryptoKitties are is an example of how a blockchain can be used in the real world.
Is it a CryptoKitty just like a little animated cat that lives like on an app on your phone?
That's exactly what it is. Yes. That's exactly what it is.
It's just a little picture of a cat.
Yes, but it has its own characteristics, and you can select characteristics, everything from, you know, eye color to shape to breeding, how fast they breed, all sorts of other things. So CryptoKitties represent a non-fungible token, meaning that each CryptoKitty is unique. You own that CryptoKitty, and the token that represents that CryptoKitty is in and of itself unique, and I can transfer that to someone else. When I transfer it to someone else, the way that I do that is by using the Ethereum blockchain. And so that transaction is forever recorded on the Ethereum blockchain as to who currently owns that CryptoKitty and who used to own it before. The reason that they're interesting is because they highlight this use case. So I don't know if you guys have heard this idea that, you know, we can use blockchain technology to revolutionize the real estate industry. Have you heard this before?
Yes. And the law industry and the Internet of Things and our privacy. But so what would it look like? I mean, if we say blockchain, all the things, there must be some reason, right? Like, what would it look like to buy a house using blockchain?
So let's go to a real estate example, okay? Because this is kind of, I think probably a lot of the listeners have bought a house or they're thinking of buying a house. And this is typically like a really big purchase. And it's one of the biggest kind of scariest purchases in people's lives. So let's look at how, quote unquote, the blockchain, and when I say that, I mean open public blockchain like Bitcoin or Ethereum, could change how things work today. So one example is, when you sell a house, the seller creates a deed, right? And they write that deed out to you. You with me so far?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So a deed isn't a magic instrument. It's not doled out anywhere. You can actually just write these things on Word. That's what your lawyer does, is they just take a document template and they write the new deed. So in the space between the time you close and you get that document stamped, and that register of deeds actually enters it into the searchable record, there's often a lag. And so there's a big problem when you have a lag time between when someone thinks the transaction is final and when it actually is final. And you're like, what does this have to do with blockchain? Ready?
Well, okay. No, the question was actually, help me understand how blockchain is going to fix this.
Yes, exactly. So with blockchain, the transaction itself at the closing, when you sign that document, that is recording it into the ultimate final ledger. There is no gap time. And so by eliminating that gap time, you eliminate the opportunity for someone to take advantage of that gap time, and you create a record that's searchable by anyone, anywhere. You don't have to then go to the Register of Deeds and search through those books yourself and kind of trace through those books yourself. You can have software that does it for you, and you can do that from the privacy of your own home.
Can I? You mentioned that there are a whole bunch of blockchains out there, right? Bitcoin is the best known, right? Can I just do my own blockchain?
Absolutely. So I teach this legal workshop, and I teach lawyers around the world what they need to know about this technology. And often they're horrified when I show them the Ethereum.org website, because if you go to Ethereum.org, you'll see that you can create your own token, your own ICO. You can create your own DAO. They call it a decentralized autonomous organization, or basically governance for your token. You can do all sorts of these things all on your own. You can create your own blockchain, and sometimes people call those private blockchains. So you guys could have a marketplace blockchain, for example. You wouldn't want to because it would be ridiculous, but you could if you wanted to.
Or it would be awesome, you know.
Or it would be awesome.
What? I mean, don't be so judgy. What is that?
You brought up a really interesting point, which is, you know, can we, you know, what if we created our own blockchain? So you illustrated what a lot of companies in this industry are going through right now. So they're trying to decide, are we going to create our own blockchain, or are we going to use one of the existing blockchains and create our own token on it? So you don't have to have your own marketplace blockchain. You could use, for example, the Ethereum blockchain and create your own token. So instead of having a CryptoKitties token, you could have a marketplace token, and you could use all of the security and all of the network effect that's built into the Ethereum network and use your own token on top of that. So one of the challenges of blockchain is creating the security mechanism, the underlying security mechanism. So yeah, you can create a blockchain. Will it be secure? Probably not, unless you get a lot of people participating in the network.
That seems really useful to know, that when companies come out and they say, we have all of this and it's built on blockchain technology, that we as journalists should maybe say, which one?
Yeah, you absolutely should. And can I give you some other questions to ask? Just four simple questions.
Yes.
When you're trying to evaluate a blockchain project, remember, kind of in the back of your mind, remember what we're looking for is, are we getting rid of a trusted third party, right? So when you're looking at these projects, you should ask yourself, when it comes to the blockchain and the ledger, who can change the future? Who can change the past? At what cost? And who will know when and how? So who can change the future of the ledger? Who can add to the ledger? Who can change the rules of the ledger? Who can change the past? Who can go back in that ledger? Who can go back in that scarf and undo all the way down to when it changed to red and then use a new yarn and create a different scarf? Does that
I'm
make
just
sense?
Gonna come, but I'm going to come right out and say it here. Are you kidding me? People can go back and change blockchains?
Yes. So this is the issue.
So look, if it took currency, money, literally millennia, to be recognized and figured out as a system of stored value, which is in essence what blockchain advocates purport it to be, how long are we going to have to deal with the, here's what Bitcoin is, and kind of it can be changed, but not really, and have you heard of Bitcoin and blockchain and, you know?
CryptoKitties?
You know, the reality is that Bitcoin is so very different, and the reason that it's different, again, is because we don't have a centralized third party making the rules. We all get together and make the rules, and the rules are all known to everyone. And so this is a totally new system. There's a ton of experimentation going on right now, and I love that. You know, we talked earlier about blockchaining all of the things. I feel sad that most of these companies aren't actually going to survive. I think that, you know, we are in such early days that it's really a time of experimentation. But I love that from a technology perspective, because we're having people test this recipe. You know, I like to think of Bitcoin as a recipe, kind of like a pina colada recipe, right? So you've got all of these ingredients and you can put rum in and you can put pineapple in and coconut in, but then you could also make Mai Tai. You could also make a daiquiri. You can also do all of these different things, and kind of we're in the bartending phase of blockchain, apparently.
Yep, that's the perfect ender. Once you bring together knitting and cocktails, I think we got it. Yeah.
So also you could just drink bourbon. I'm just, you know, enough of those foofy drinks. No, I'm just, you know, that's my thought. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Can I just say that recently it was my birthday and I. My friends really get me. I don't want to give the impression that I overdrink, because I don't. But I left left that party. I asked somebody to bring bourbon because we thought it was going to be really cold. And so we made hot chocolate and asked someone to bring bourbon, and he brought like 3 gallons. So I left that party with gifted bourbon, the 3 gallon thing. So I'm just saying, if tariffs happen on bourbon and there's like the really high, because I know this is your obsession.
Now I was just going to say, now you're talking my language.
Exactly. Like, if, as NPR has predicted so many times, there are very high tariffs on bourbon, good. Shut I could ride that out. I could ride out a zombie apocalypse with the amount of bourbon that I have in my cabinet right now. Not helpful in the blockchain.
No, but here's the deal, right? It makes you wait for this. Blockchain actually makes you want to drink, because it's so abstract and so a little bit counterintuitive, and honestly, it's kind of complicated. And that last thing there, or maybe second to last thing that I said about currency and money having taken millennia to figure out, I think it's going to be a very long time before anybody is comfortable enough with blockchain as a system of stored value, let alone your wackadoodle idea of putting privacy data on there. I'm just, you know, I think it's going to be a very long time.
It's because you can parcel it out in a traceable way. So it is going to be a really long time, because and Pamela was very clear that she was not all the way on board with
that's true.
Put everything on the blockchain.
Yep.
But the value, I can see, she described it in a way that we cut out, but she described it at one point as a network of trust. And that is where all the potential lies in this blockchain idea, that when you have a visible ledger that either, that in some cases can't be changed, mm-hmm. like when it's the right kind, the immutable kind, and cannot be changed, then that creates profound trust because you have a record that won't be changed of everything that ever happened. And so you can totally imagine when you spin that forward, you can imagine that in a lot of different business cases that are super useful. It's just that knowing that some can be changed and some can't, and some are open source and available to everyone and some are not. And then there are thousands of them. And then there's the Bitcoin one. And then there's just the gold rush factor. That's the best when you get into bourbon territory. I get that.
And here, gentle reader, is the host's cut edition of this interview, because after the trust thing came up, I said, yeah, it's like Reagan back in the day, novie do provie, or maybe it was dovie no provie, trust but verify, right?
Something well, Russian-ish.
It's all Russian to me, right? But that's the deal, trust but verify,
right.
and that's the deal.
Right.
Yeah, it has to be verifiably incorruptible and immutable, and I don't think anybody's there on the trust scale yet, let alone Bitcoin going from 20,000 to 7,500 or whatever the hell it is.
Right, but true that you're right. You're absolutely right. Like the perfect instantiation of blockchain is trust but verify.
Right. There you go.
It's both. It's trusted and verified.
Right.
And that's the ideal. And isn't that always the case with technology? There's always an ideal.
Right.
Just in case that wasn't that clear to you, and also we just wanted to have a little quiz with some of our past guests, we're calling it the Make Me Smart Blockchain Challenge, which is coming up next. And it goes like this. In only a few sentences, like the new Make Me Smart question. In only a few sentences, what is the simplest way you can explain, quote, the blockchain? Not Bitcoin, not cryptocurrency, just the blockchain. You can use an analogy like the knitting thing, which is freaking
which is
genius.
Awesome.
I don't think
it's
you're
really
going to do. It's from The New Yorker, and I don't think anyone's going to do better. So consider that your challenge. An analogy, a joke, something out there, something close to home, whatever works for you.
We've got some answers. Some are from guests we've had on the program. You can check them out on our website, marketplace.org.
But we want to hear yours, so email them to us at makemesmart@marketplace.org, or you know, just write to us about whatever you want.
What do you do? Do you usually do .org or .org?
I like to say .org because .org is such a swallowy sound. And it sounds like organ, and then everything just gets kind of marketplace.liver. I don't know. It's like weird.
Got to pay the bills. Bye.
Okay, I went too far.
With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within on what the future of AI should be. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman. From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing, the chaos that followed, and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world. Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts, with shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Wondery means business.
Get one of the most successful broadcasts in television history on your schedule with the 60 Minutes podcast. Hard-hitting investigative reports, news, and culture maker interviews and in-depth profiles are waiting for you in every episode. Listen to 60 Minutes every Sunday wherever you get your podcasts.
We are getting toward the end here, I guess. We're going to hear from you today. One story from one couple on our theme of the day.
So here's the thing about blockchain. As you may have guessed, it has a community attached to it, a passionate community. It's got subreddits galore, people who believe in it. They have focused their careers around it. And for some people, And this is amazing. Blockchain is becoming a lifestyle, including one couple who wrote into Make Me Smart, because blockchain is not just their obsession. It is how they got married.
They did it.
Married.
I know. They did it. Proposal ceremony, contract, the whole deal on the blockchain at Burning Man up in the Nevada desert. Here is a bit of the story from the couple in question, Bowen Sanders and Jen Luker.
We met on the way to Burning Man in 2010. We became friends and were friends for a while. And then I wound up proposing to you in Burning Man 2013. We didn't tell anyone for a little bit, but there is a picture of me from that day with dust all over one of my knees, and no one questioned me of why one knee had dust on it.
Just the one knee.
Yeah. Who brought up marriage on the blockchain?
Well, I think that was you. Even though we were both looking into it, the company that Jen works for was starting a blockchain end of their business and starting a news outlet.
Right. And then I became the editor for ETH News, and I had been researching different stories, and I came across several people who were getting married on the blockchain, and I thought that was a really neat idea for us.
What was the wedding day like?
Exhausting.
Yeah, I remember the first half of my day was really running around with a couple of programmers and a couple of MacBooks trying to get hooked up to the internet and really stressing out about that. So I guess my bridezilla moment was like screaming about not being able to get online.
Right. I had meticulously planned a lot of things, and he kind of was a little bit more slapdash about it. But we did recite some poetry to each other.
The ceremony wasn't in itself traditional, except for the fact that we had, you know, the traditional, like, person who was officiating, and we said things back and forth in that sort of a manner. But instead of, like, the power being vested in him by the state, the power vested in him by the Ethereum blockchain, he now pronounced us
husband and wife.
Husband and wife. Was
that
what
he
said?
That's what we are.
We had two laptops, and each one of us signed a transaction that made us partner one and two on a multi-signature wallet, which allows, you know, more than one person to be able to spend money out of a wallet as long as they agree.
I think in general, blockchain could be useful for marriages because if you have two people from different countries who want to get married, or people living in a country who are maybe same sex and it's not legal there, things like that that aren't generally recognized by the state, it might eventually get recognized. And I feel like people have to start doing it for it to catch on. And it was just something that we wanted to be on board with and support.
I think this is creative and interesting and a little out there. Also, I should tell you, we have the actual like Bitcoin blockchain. Sorry, the actual blockchain
contract,
which I looked through and read, and I can't understand it. We will put it up at makemesmart.org, and you guys have a look and figure it out, because it's like Swahili to me.
It's pretty techie. I mean, here's the other thing about blockchain and all of its potential is it is not quite usable yet. It's in the way that things look really I mean, it looks like sort of a weird, like, it's a database. It's like literally if your wedding contract was in a MySQL form.
Wait, what?
You know, or like a
MySQL.
Somebody's gonna write to me and be like, I call it MySQL. It's a database.
Okay.
It's database software.
Sure. All right.
Okay. All right.
Anyway.
We also had so much packed into the show today, we know, but we still want to hear more from you. And so we're going to just play, because we have been begging you for answers to the Make Me Smart question, and it would be really rude not to play them, especially since they're all so good. So we're going to play one next.
Something I thought I knew.
That's a really tough question.
That's a big old hunker of a question.
Gosh, that is good.
Lots and lots of you have been really, really good about sending in stuff, sending in your answers to this question. The others of you, you know who you are. Just record it on your smartphone. Email it to us. makemesmart@marketplace.org. Roland Christensen from Salt Lake City, Utah. Here it is.
Something that I thought I knew that later turned out that I was wrong about is that it would be extremely difficult for me to learn how to code and to become a developer with little to no experience. Because it turns out that I was wrong. At the beginning of the year, I was laid off from my job. And a few days later, I decided I wanted to try my hand at coding. I took to the internet and found a ton of free, comprehensive content with tutorials on learning how to code. And as much as I hate to say it, the only reason this content is freely available is because of online advertising. And without online advertisements, the internet would be a truly different place. And capitalism would be a truly different thing.
That is true, but is different better or worse? I'm just saying.
Well, it's better in his case, right?
That's true.
That's fascinating.
True. That's true.
Yeah, that's a really good perspective. And also, Roland, you're a motivated guy and good for you. Well done.
Yeah, no joke. No joke, right?
Yeah.
Because that's not easy to do. You know,
it's not. Exactly.
Like that.
So, good
I'm
job.
Like, you know, talking into a microphone. I'm just saying. Speaking my native tongue into a microphone. That's my job.
Is that you're going to dark mode?
No,
don't
no,
do it.
No, I'm not. I love my job.
You're a world class talent, Rizdahl. World class.
Oh,
and I mean that. All right. Thank you for listening, everyone. Thank you for staying with us through our many twists and turns.
Not going to dark mode. Get it? Dark mode.
Dark mode.
That's what you call
it's amazing.
The loop right there, peeps.
It's distance between the points.
I can't tell if we've got the long music and we've got a lot of time to riff or we don't.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It's the middle length music. Huh. Well, now we got to hustle. Go, Molly, go.
Oh, God. Make Me Smart is produced by Shara Morris with Christopher Olin. This is his last official show, and we are so grateful for all the work he's done, especially the Kerrygold episode.
Oh my God. Oh, my God.
Senior producer, Eve Tro. This week's program was engineered by Drew Jostad. And, of course, Ben Holliday and Daniel Ramirez are responsible for the music. Go!
The executive director of On Demand is Star Nieves. Well, we don't have to talk fast. It's a podcast. Senior vice president and general manager is Deborah Clark. There you go.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.